the summer full moon rises and the angels open up their wings. Music like an incantation is in the air on shiny silver strings. And so you move your body, ankle bells and blue and golden rings. When the summer full moon rises, I just wanna ride.
Good morning. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. Every Friday here on 1150 AM KKNW, I'll be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities that are guaranteed to lift your spirits. That song is called Moonrise, and that is the Nick Drummond Band, and Nick will be joining us at the end of the show. You can go to his website, nickdrummond.com. I'm just looking forward to playing that whole song at the very end. And it's my birthday show.
It is. Happy, well, officially belated, right?
Belated. But I always have the week of my birthday. So.
Or don't the ladies usually do a month thing? Okay, I should say guys too. But usually it's like, it's my birthday month.
I do my birthday week. Yeah. I used to do my birthday month with my kids. But it started with me sitting on the beach ready to go home at sunset and then whales appearing, which never happens on that side. So that was pretty exciting.
I don't know how you could do a birthday month anyway. I think a week is about right. That sounds a good distance, good vision on that.
Well, my daughter's birthday is June 6th. So she has her week. So we combined it. I was supposed to take the kids over to my place.
There
and she's like, why don't you just stay for 3 days? And so I stayed for 3 days with a 4-year-old and 11-year-old. I have been biking, trampolining, playing games. We got Monopoly, cards. Oh, my goodness. We danced.
Spending time with Grandma.
It was like Dina, Grandma Dina, awesome. Grandma Dina. So my brain's a little mushy because it was like back and forth. It's like a juggling. But I had an amazing time, and I'm so happy to be here. And when I thought of my show, there's only one person I wanted to be on, and that is my good friend Anthony Manna, professor and author from Ohio. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, hello, and happy birthday. Ooh. A birthday. What a great celebration. You know, I mean, why not? Sure.
57 years on this planet. And you know what? I made it. And I have to just go back because you've been on the show a few times. But a year ago, I interviewed you with your book, Lucas and the Game of Chance. And we hit it off. So I, for some reason, suggested we talk on the phone. And then we've been talking for a whole year, every week.
Every week. And yet what happened was, as a writer, I got into our energy matters, the art of crystal reading. Learn how, I can't believe she had two subtitles. That's unheard of. Learn how to manifest your heartfelt intentions. And I thought, wait a minute, I this is important to me. And so I started reading, and then I just started jotting some ideas. And I thought, as a writer, I just felt so liberated. I wasn't writing for an editor. I wasn't writing to become famous. I was just writing to explore any of this, which was all new to me. Crystals, chakras, my inner energy, you know. And I thought, I'm just an old Italian guy from New Jersey. What do I know about these things, you know? And so I started writing, and I hope today I'll be able to read a little bit of that as we move through. It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. And it's a joy every time you read one of your poems to me or your writings. I know it was around February we were talking, and you were having some writer's block, and I said something as if, you know, maybe what you need to write hasn't happened yet. And then you started coming up with these readings, and it helped me get through this time. And it really moved me, my heart. You took my book like a 4-year-old and reinvented it like Christmas. So every time I see Emma, it's like reliving my childhood, I guess. And you're taking my book to a whole new level for me. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. That makes me so happy. As a writer, you know, because you always long for, as a writer, you always long for that, you know, that someone might be moved somehow or taken away or developed spiritually or a new beginning, a new idea, you know, a new revelation. And so what a wonder, you know. And I'll keep on writing with you, of course. I mean, I think maybe we'll do an anthology someday of old guys still writing. That's my brand. Old guy still writing. And then I started the Old Guy Diary, which is dedicated to you.
I love it. And in the midst of this, so you bought my book after I read your book, and I thought your book was super spiritual. And then we started talking every week, and then we brought up the chakras, and you got the book. And then I sent you Orr's Angels. So we have an angel wing thing going on, too.
Oh, yes. Aura pro nobis. You said, what? I said, you know what aura means? It means pray.
I had no idea. And that's why I wrote the book, because when she lost her baby, she kept asking God for a sign, because someone said the baby was in limbo or would be in hell for eternity because it wasn't baptized. And so the whole time she kept looking up, looking for a sign. And at the end, an angel comes to her and shows her that we're all light and that her baby's safe and safe in the light.
Starlight. Right. And it's a coloring book.
Yep.
And I mean, why not? You know, there. Yeah, it's a coloring book. And so once again, colors, colors, colors. As a matter of fact, the first piece I want to read is from your chapter, and it's simply called Colors.
Go for it. Read
you want
it.
Me to read
yes,
it?
I want to read it now. Sure. I want to be okay. Totally spontaneous and in the present
right.
moment.
All right, so here it is. It's Old Guy Diary, February 24, 2021, Colors. Dream Lady of the Ecstasy, spread your healing colors. Illuminate seekers, wanderers, nomads of souls splintered by high wire acts of remorse, conviction, incarceration by mindlessness. Read the colors, wander their sparks of truth-telling, their labyrinth of search, find, gain, loss, warmth, cold, light, dark, move, stop, cease. Cease there in the opening of the worth of you, the angel of you, the mode of your oh-so-burnished energy. Don't hold back. Don't hold on. Sprint into the gardens teeming with color, colors, their gods and goddesses beckoning you. I see dark green, maturity, wisdom, patience. I hold you so. I told you so. Read the color, consume the color. Richness empowers it to empower you. Be devil, God, goddess of color. I see gray, fears, worries, depression, divest it of the shrine of me. Celestial lady of the dark cave enlightened, I see yellow, strength, intellect, happiness, self-empowered. I told you so. Eat the color, dance the color. Sing, oh, sing the color. I see pink, self-love, kindness, affection, heart, heart, heartfelt feeling. Angel lady, one, two, three, four, spread, then again spread, slow. The crystallized flash, flicker, flare, glint, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat. A moon, sun, wind, rain, in you, angel lady, in you it all and always conjures soul light, spirit light, brilliant epiphanies for the man of your at your door, lady at your window, child at the circle of yes, awakened all to revelations like this. You are the worthy one. You are the color of all you need to be now and now and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So be it.
Oh, gosh. It makes me cry. Because you helped me go back into my book, and each chapter is new to you, and that's part of the color chapter, where when I first started doing the chakra readings, it started with a box of 64 crayons. And so if children were drawn to pink, that was their heart chakra, right? If someone was drawn to green, again, the heart chakra. But green is when you give to others, and pink is when you learn to receive and give to yourself. So we've been talking about self-love a lot and you know, getting rid of the guilt and such. So the darker colors could be grief, depression. You know, you get a kid that wants to pick 10 gray, black colors. I need to take them somewhere and have a good time, right? And adults, too. So that's what the colors, and that's how it started with the crayons. And then I started collecting crystals. And then you got into the crystal section. You got into the chakra section. The elementals, you brought that one to life. And that's when, like, Benny's a Capricorn, so he's earth. I'm air, and Anthony is a Leo, so he is fire. So you bring certain things elementals together. Like at my house, it's way too much fun because we're a lot of air signs. And my grandson's a Capricorn, so he's the one we have to drag out of the house. And then he says, thank you, just like my son, the Taurus. But earth sign is like very dependable. Fire signs, which is what you are. You have so much Leo in your chart, like my granddaughter. I said I got to do her chart too because you're the stage people. You're the people that aren't, she's always dancing. She's singing and the performers, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fire. And I'm air triple Gemini, which is a weird thing. It's a sun and moon in Gemini. I'm a triple sun, moon, and ascendant. So I'm drawn to fire because air and fire, it's combustible, and we can have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Too much fun.
But I look, see what you just did? That's a whole paragraph. Let's record this. Oh, wait a minute. It is being recorded.
I know. Sometimes we're just chatting and we're like, we should write that down.
Yeah, I know. Because I mean, that last section, how helpful it can be for people to know the perspective. Let's put it that way. You know, life's perspective. And it's all, you know, no matter how much you go back to it, how often I should say you go back to it, there's something to learn. There's always something to learn, mm-hmm. You know, and
know thyself. So when I have a client say, you know how hard it is to be myself, he says that. That's how I start the book. But in the end, we're all trying to be what other people want us to be, whether especially starts with your parents and school teachers, right? And then all of a sudden you don't know who you are, and there's this hole inside of you that needs to be filled. So you wanted to be a dancer. How easy Woo-hoo. Was it for you to be a dancer?
Up at it.
Your dad wanted you to be a boxer, and that's not.
My father was a boxing referee, and he wanted me. I don't know. He never really said, "I want you to be a boxer." But why did he bring me to all those boxing meetings with those guys with the shriveled faces and the noses that were bent and up, and the ears that looked like cauliflower?
Aww.
I mean, you know, and that was like, they were supposed to be models, you know, and they were good people. I mean, they were very warm-hearted. They shook my hand, and it always hurt. Because they squeezed so hard. But that was kind of like on his mind. And I went along with it and I learned a lot from him, but I also went off to Lillian Dean and her class, but I didn't take the class, I wasn't allowed. So I went into the alleyway of her school and I listened to them dancing up there and I thought, oh, and so I would just dance in the alleyway. I was never arrested.
That's good. But we were drawn to music, and I'm drawn to music, and it's just so, it's joy. It's pure joy when we get to move and sing and dance just like a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old that, you know, like we end my book that way, is that I was at the basketball game watching my son, and this little girl is singing and dancing. She's Emma's age, right? This was, 15 years ago. And then all of a sudden, I see these big tears, and she's crying. Well, her parents must have been split up because mom was way over here. Dad was way over here. She goes over to dad, and dad tells her, you know, stop dancing. And it made her cry. So, and that's how the chakras get closed, is over time. When you lose freedom, when you lose parts of yourself to please other people, then you get blocks, and that's dis-ease. And that's what we've been kind of working on recently, is the mind-body connection and dis-ease.
Absolutely, yes. And then making that connection. And then I just think it's, there's so many quotes, you know, and I kept one of the pieces that I write, I draw from you, may the facades we wear fall to the earth and scatter to the wind, never to be seen again. You know, and then somewhere it was like, who am I? I am who I am. And, you know, just they're so simplistic in their statement and profound in the reach.
And what are you a professor in?
I am a professor of literacy, language, literature, drama, theater, speaking.
So when you buy my book and you actually like it and you're reading it, you really help me to feel like I have a purpose and a passion. And I've seen you over the last year just burn your journals. I mean, you had some stuff that you were holding on to.
Oh, yeah.
To help the listeners, a few things that you've cleaned out your closets. What are a few things that you've done?
Well, I mean, the first one was, I said to you, it was early on. And I just said, look, I keep going back to these these haunting memories, and particularly one relationship that was just neurotic. That's maybe too simple a word.
Toxic.
And it was just a very destructive relationship in that I tried to save a person. And here I was, you know, in my 60s doing this. And I thought I was being blinded by the light of what I thought was his salvation. And so I brought this man into my environment, and it was a disaster from day number one. And so I kept writing about it. I kept a journal about it. I kept seeing him fall apart, seeing him lose another job, seeing him have to give up a car, seeing, you know, and I kept writing all this. And then I would go back and I thought, wait a minute. And I said to you, I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to, you know, when I remember one of my spiritual leaders in Buddhism, Thich Nhat Hanh, said, we don't have to go back into those sordid memories over and over again. We can heal ourselves, you know? And I think I went to you asking your permission in a way. And you, and the thing you said to me, it just sparked. You said, burn them. Burn my journals? You are not a good Catholic at all. you know, and yet I understood exactly what you meant, because it was like going to confession, you know, and it was like, I need absolution, you know, so let me go there. And so I started ripping the pages, you know, and now I've got to pulverize the covers and get rid of those. But I mean, it was such a liberation, and truly, you know, and the thing about this is, in my own spirituality, which is I'm a student of Buddhism, is that when I meditate, I bring that man back into my life and I pray for his salvation, you know, that's wrong. I pray for his endurance. I pray for his, you know, his enlightenment, you know, so.
And we've been talking about sending love and light and having no expectations, you know, or no disappointments either. So you just told me something that's forgiveness, I guess. And it's also the getting rid of what is cancer? Cancer is when you hold on to anger and resentment and you keep it in your body. And I told you that story about the woman who had the fist that was clenched. And then she was on the table doing Reiki with me. And I said, are you angry with a man? That's what I just sensed with the right arm and the shoulder. And she said, yeah, my husband was abusive and he has passed. And then her hand just relaxed, right? And then I gave her the book, Feelings Buried Never Die, you know. And she read it, but the bottom line is she went to church and then she got better, but she couldn't come back to me because I was a hypnotherapist and I might steal her mind. But just the fact that she knew, she goes, do you think that the anger that I hold towards my husband who's passed is what's holding me back? And it was. So anger is just directly, like, it's hurting. It's like torturing yourself. We talk about that, right? Because you were going to be a priest. Torture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I studied for 5 years, mm-hmm. close to 5 years. And I went to, in the one monastery, I went to confession every day. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world, you know, and what was I going to confess, you know? And also I used to put him to sleep. I mean, I would start talking about my sins, which never existed. I would just make things up and he would snore. And I thought, okay, at least I'm helping him relax a little bit.
Get some time, some relaxation. And then also you said how they had you looking down all the time, and I always say, look up, see the light, everything.
Oh, yeah. Out. Yeah. I mean, it was a period of total discipline for me that I did not have. Intellectually, they awakened me to what my talents are that I never knew I had. And so they gave me a lot of discipline and concern for other people. I mean, you're in a monastery with like-minded people and you learn how to give and take, you know, and I thought, why not, you know, but then when it came to the vows or when it came to subjecting my life to a mystery that I couldn't quite comprehend, you know, I just decided that I needed to leave, you know, but I brought with me I mean, look at this. I mean, here I am in my 70s. Oh, I just revealed my age. Yes, you may all send me a card of condolences. You know, that in the 70s, I consider myself a student of Buddhism, you know, and why not? The Catholic Church led me there somehow because it's spirituality, you know, and if you open your heart to whether you are a Presbyterian, a Methodist, you know, whatever you might be, that what's the path, you know, to our own spiritual regeneration. And
well, and also they gave you that time of silence so you could find that being quiet is really important.
That was, I forgot that. Thank you so much. Because no, seriously, we had what was called grand silence, which meant that at a certain time in the evening, everything was closed down. There was no talking until after Matins, which is the early morning prayers. Beyond breakfast, beyond, you know, we would parade around the grounds in our robes chanting Santa Maria ora pro nobis, you know, and you know, and it was all in this spiritual place, which was where we were regenerated, as they said it would be. Yes, silence, absolutely. We need those periods, don't we?
Yes, we do. And then I think our first phone call, we set our intentions. So I use intentions as prayer. And that's what or means, is prayer. And so when you ask, we were never told that we could pray for ourselves. And I kind of shift it to where I think the only person you can pray for is yourself, because that's the only place you have any power. And so when I pray, remember we were praying for our kids and you want them to do this, 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 and that. But that's kind of intervening with their journey. It's their journey, their life. It's our journey, our life. So setting our intentions for ourselves, you know, what does Anthony want? What does Dina want? And then we allow everyone else, because that's really important, to live their lives just the way they want to.
Yeah, as they will, you know, and we may not. I mean, sometimes I get frightened by my grandsons and the path that they follow, but that's not for me to say. You know, I just have to observe and pray, mm-hmm. you know, that they may find what is most fulfilling to them in safety and health.
And then remember, worrying is praying backwards. Darn it.
I never heard that one before, but boy, I can feel, I saw myself was with these roller skates going down this path backwards.
So I learned that with my children, and it was like my higher voice that said, you know, if you send them that negative energy, it actually goes towards them. So that's where I started learning to just, I see this beautiful light and I send it to my children, and sometimes angels, I'll send them angels to care for them and stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's really important that we watch our thoughts and be coming from our heart. And that's why I love our conversations. Now we're busy, right? Before we were sitting at home kind of like, what are we going to do in the wintertime? And it was so lovely to have each week look forward to our conversations. And then we got everything sped up a little bit, didn't it, recently?
Mm.
It's like I still, every time we get off the phone, my heart feels full. I feel good about life. So it's our little church once a week, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way to put it for me too, because what it does is it asks me to go into silence, to step back, you know. And sometimes I just randomly open your book, and you know, when I find a passage that speaks to me in such a way that I find a kind of guidance that I would never imagine. I mean, the last time I had the pages open to the chakras, and I was going back and forth from the right side of the page to the left side of the page to where you're awakening and then where you're shutting down, where you're awakening and where you're shutting down by chakra. And this is all new to me. And it was like, yeah, I can feel it. Yeah, I know when my heart closes, you know, and I know that just 24 hours ago, I went through a shutdown because I was getting so angry with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up this morning and I thought, no, I don't want that. What I want is a release and relief and, you know, and opening up the heart and welcoming this person back in and just saying, so be it. It will be, you know, as it must be.
And it feels good. right? Because I know when I'm, my blood pressure goes up when I'm shutting my heart or trying to control things I have no control over. So I, after a Reiki session, people are like, what is that? Well, it's pure love. So your heart's open and you walk out. So like I'm a chiropractor for your spirit, right? And then you, yeah. And then you walk out, and then all of a sudden you get the phone call, and then you're talking to someone maybe you don't really want to talk to, and all of a sudden your heart starts to close again. But if people get to a place where they feel good over and over and over again, they won't shut their hearts. But you have to also weed out certain people or places or activities that do not lift your spirits.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and that's the choice, the ultimate choice.
And it's releasing the guilt, which is your sacral chakra, and opening your heart to loving yourself. My daughter, I just left her, and, you know, the card I wrote was basically, it's me watching me at her age. That's what happened in the last 3 days. I got to sit back with the kids, ride bikes, jump on trampolines while she was mowing lawns and vacuuming and saying yes when she wanted to say no and going. And I thought, wow, this is what a gift this is to watch me and then tell her it's okay to say no. It's okay. Yeah. Just say no. Yeah. And then even Benny just said, Dina, you can say no. So I say yes to myself quite a bit. And, you know, I get my time alone almost every evening with nature. And then the mornings I take my walk. So I feel pretty blessed. But, yeah, when you're a mom and you're taking care of kids and you have no teacher all year, you're teaching your kids. I feel for every mother out there right now because it's been quite a year on top of, you know, everything else. But self-love 101.
101.
It's a class I teach. And then we release the guilt. If you feel good doing something, keep doing it, right? And then that's what I spent 10 years of my life when I discovered all this is I was doing things for everybody else and I felt bad if I didn't. Boo. That's no fun.
Not at all.
No, and then if you're always doing something, you get that resentment. That's a whole nother disease.
Yeah, that's just what I went through in 24 hours. That was the whole closing down. I was I wanted to say no because of my health. It was some physical activity that right now I have to watch myself. I mean, I'm still a power walker. I'm still lifting, etc. But there are certain things I can't do because my heart is being told that it's got a problem. And so I said yes when I meant no, and I was exhausted by the time it was over with. And I thought, what did I do this for? Mm-hmm. So you learn. I'm 78. I said it again. You can send me cards of condolences. Yes, I'll give you my address. I'm 78. I'm still learning. Everybody, guess what? You never stop learning. You want to open your heart.
And you've reignited my heart in a way, because I love my book and it did start with children and it is childlike, but people need to be reminded, or maybe they don't even know that these energy systems, and I only deal with seven, I'm sure there's thousands, I don't know, but this little color game or rock game changes people's lives because it introduces you back to yourself, who you die with. Who you live with. This is the person that matters the most to you. And if you're vibrating, if your energy matters, right? If it's vibrating at a yellow level, which is like bright, sunshiny, and yummy, you're going to feel good. And then your health's going to get better. And you're going to attract other people into your life that are more, oh gosh, I can't tell you, I've been practicing it. And I'm just overwhelmed when somebody's like, well, here, have this, or here's a gift, or you don't have to do that. And I'm like, all I did was start saying no, right?
Yeah,
and saying yes to myself. But you helped me this whole year. What a friendship we've developed. And I just love you, Anthony Mana. And I want you to read another one of your poems or writings.
Okay. All right. Well, here, let me just.
And I know we'll be doing some. We're trying to do some videos, and we're just kind of. I didn't tell you the other day that after we did the video, I broke a table.
Broke a table.
A table. It's a huge table and it almost looked like I danced on it, but I didn't. It's just the table fell apart.
It just collapsed?
Yeah. Uh-oh. I haven't told you about that part.
Earth ideas of earthquake.
You know what? It was funny. I had to tell somebody that I broke their table and I didn't feel any guilt because I didn't do anything wrong. The thing was, and she goes, you know what? It was an old table and I'm glad it didn't hurt you. Isn't that funny?
Very strange.
Yeah.
Let me get through a little bit of this. I mean, otherwise it'll be too long, but I'll just go. This is Old Guy Diary, March 8th. By order of spirit spark divinization, angelic decree, she is hereby crowned celestial alchemist. She set off on a shared path through crisscrossed, double-patterned wood, bent branch, dancing dancer to the choreographer, swift-breezed. She danced liquid colors. This I learned watching, as she offered a Eucharist of memories dripping in a sparkle of colors. Solace she let fall from chosen crystallized emblems, bits, pieces, shards of power. Freedom she extracted from chosen colored earth stones. Promise, hope, longing, loss, fear, tumbled like burst stones from reading the tale of you and you and you, the wrinkled soul place, the heart severed by too much of should and maybe and disregard and deranged obedience. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Have you? She, dream wanderer, doled to me a chakra dose. I'll stop there.
I love the chakra dose. You just came up with that one? Or did you say that before? I'm stealing your stuff all the time. Celestial art, chakra dose, because I always say chakra prescription.
Yeah.
And you have, oh gosh. We may have a book.
if you need an agent and you want to bottle it, and we'll put it, you know, in markets all over the place. Take your chakra dose every day.
Oh, yeah. Dose. Love it. So, and that's another thing, because for whatever reason, you ignite my brain, and I'm triple Gemini, which is the planet Mercury, communication, and you paint pictures for me, and I need that, and kids need that. Well, everyone needs it. And the job I have right now, I just tell stories and people love it. I don't even know if they know what I'm selling yet, but it's just that people are, you know, being told what to think and do, and it's not bright and cheerful and lovely because media and the television, all that stuff. So number one for your higher chakras, live life. Don't watch it on a screen. Get out there and actually get in your garden or dance or ride your bike, jump on a trampoline. That was fun.
Absolutely, yeah.
I laugh so hard. But we've been working, and you're just to the middle. You just open the book to the mind-body connection and, you know, the chakras that are associated with certain things like guilt and such. We still have a ways to go.
Well, the path is open, you know. And as I say early on, I mean, it leads down to the shore. And then the expanse, I think I wrote about that last week. It's like, it's endless. The expanse is so wide and so encompassing and so soothing. It can be so soothing to stand at the shore.
And open your eyes. And that's why your third, your brow chakra is beauty. So anytime you're out in your yard or taking your walk and you can see the birds, like right now, the birds are amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And then your third eye opens because it's pleasant. And that's when you get your intuition and you get this little voice. And my voice, because I enjoyed talking to you so much, and then we had the interview, for some reason, I'm like, my inner voice is like, let's do an hour call for a while. And then we just kept doing it. And look what an amazing, the art of a conversation, the art of visiting has brought us.
Absolutely. On our way.
And we haven't even met each other in person yet.
No, I know. Well, I'm in Ohio. Talk about being far away. And my son and my grandkids are in Arizona. You know, so.
Yeah, I know. At least we have this Zoom. I'm not into it. And I really do like our conversations on the phone because I can be out in the woods and you're doing your thing. But I can be with you once a week anywhere I'm at. So, but still, God bless Zoom. God is blessed.
No, absolutely. The technology is empowerment on one level.
Well, I'm going to say anthonymanabooks.com is your website, so you can reach out to Anthony. But we're hoping to do, we're practicing, a little maybe 15-minute blurb on the chakras and our energy matters. It'll be Our Energy Matters with Anthony Mann and Dina Marie. And we don't know where it's going yet, and it doesn't really even matter.
Thank you.
You know? And then I think the most important part, too, is that we spread our wings and fly. So I really, when I heard this song, I think this song is our song, even though I know it's Nick Drummond's song. But it's just such a beautiful synchronicity. I don't even know how it happened. But my inner voice said, hey, why don't you check in with Nick, see what he's up to. But then he was doing a show right down the road at Finn River. And then I heard this song, and I'm like, this song's for Anthony and I.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's Anthony, amanabooks.com. And stay tuned for more of our, we have no idea what we're doing, but we're doing it anyways. All right, we're going to go to break. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. Stay tuned.
And golden rings when the summer full moon rises and the angels open up their wings. Remember all the friends that brought us here tonight. The stars.
Lift Your Spirits with me, Dina Marie, on Whidbey Island. I'll be a tour guide for your spirit and a travel agent for your soul. Retreats include a healing session for your body, your mind, and your spirit. You receive a Reiki session plus a chakra reading, experience a labyrinth in the woods, take a walk on the beach, and enjoy downtown Langley with me. Retreats are customized for you or a group of friends. You can visit dina-marie.com to connect with me today. Island Time is waiting for you.
Tune in every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m. for the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer. Learn from and be inspired by local leaders, thinkers, and problem solvers who are tackling the sustainable living questions through invention, collaboration, and hard work. This lively and thought-provoking show focuses on tangible, practical measures that we can all take to reduce our carbon footprint and rethink how we relate to the resources of our natural world. Don't forget, that's the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer, every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m.
Are you planning your next move? We know it can be stressful. But at a Swift Move, you can relax and leave the work to us. You can put your mind at ease that your personal items will be safe throughout the entire moving process. To get a free quote from licensed professionals so you can compare and save, call us at 425-309-0577. That's 425-309-0577. So make your next move a swift one and give us a call.
Lift Your Spirits with us every Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle. We will be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities are guaranteed to lift your spirits. Miss a show? No worries, you can visit 1150kknw.com and click on our archive page or like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook for upcoming guests and events. To contact me, Dina Marie, visit dina-marie.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Going against the grain has never been this much fun. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie, and that song is called Moonrise. And joining us this morning is Nick Drummond. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. It is morning.
Oh, my God. I love that song. I just have to say that.
Thank you.
So I'm a short story because I get to tell stories here. I was the director of downtown Snohomish Main Street, Wired and Plugged, closed, and I moved everyone over to the open mic to Thumbnail Theater and did the Taste of Music. Mm-hmm. All in about 3 months. And yeah. I did call you to be the lead band of that, but you guys were already booked, the Senate. And
yeah, okay.
We had our first concert, the Thumbnail Theater, and that was you.
That's amazing. Yeah, I have fond memories of playing there because I remember we would go backstage before the encore, and the backstage was just covered in hats and wigs and various paraphernalia for children's shows, and we had a really good time coming back on stage for the encore wearing whatever we could fit on our heads. It was a good time.
It was, and it was the first time they used it for that, a concert. I just remember chairs all over the ceiling, and I eventually rented their house, so I remember all that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And then you went off to play Everett Waterfront, and me and my family danced many times there with you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I miss those shows. Those were so much fun. Good vibes in front of the in front of all the boats and everything in the marina. And then up on top of the hill, you could see people watching from up by where their houses are above the train tracks and everything. It's beautiful. And I miss it. Can you tell I miss it?
God, I want you back to do it. So things are starting to roll, and you have a concert at Finn River.
Yeah, we're playing Finn River on Sunday. We're doing a stripped down little thing as a trio. It's myself and Asan Karimi, drummer, and Mark Matry on bass. Because they're only booking trios so far, probably for health concerns. Yes. It's an outdoor thing, but that makes sense. So we're trying something a little bit more raw, a little bit more rough around the edges, and there's going to be a lot of new material. So it's going to be exciting.
And I followed you through this thing. I'm not going to say what it was. I followed you through, and you had a concert, and it was beautiful. And I don't even know how I had time that day to watch the whole thing. It was lovely, you know. And then we were talking the other day about the gifts of this. And I work with the chakras, and I, you know, you said it gave you time to focus. Let the listeners know what that means for you.
I guess the best way to put it is it silenced a lot of noise in my head, and I think culturally as well. I think there were very important things that were going on that were kind of spawned by suddenly everyone having time to assess where they are in their own humanity and what it is that's important to all of us collectively. And I think it's very telling that as soon as everyone had a chance to take a deep breath, that suddenly issues of social justice came to the forefront very, very strongly. But for me personally, like in my creative life, it was a really shocking and difficult transition because we had just released an album and I was on like a marketing, you know, campaign, best I can do on my own, to try and get it in front of people and get it heard. Excuse me. And then the rug was pulled out from under all those plans. And so just had to adapt and had to relearn to be quiet and live with my own thoughts again. And it was incredibly powerful for me because I ended up really liking what I found. And I was afraid of, you know, the prospect of writing the next album for the band, which in my mind at the time was, you know, a year plus away. And with this time, it just started to bubble up out of me and it became the most productive, prolific period of my life. And I am incredibly grateful to have had that break. It has done me a whole lot of good. And I think that's the case for a lot of people, even if it doesn't translate into, you know, tangible productivity or things that, you know, if you don't have a project or anything to show for it. I think just being forced to recalibrate and tune into what is going on in your internal world and reconnect with the value of friendships and community and everything else. I think it's carved a lot of the, I don't want to say the word on the radio, but a lot of extra things that we busy ourselves with, and it just kind of carved them away. And for me, that was really profound and quite powerful.
Beautiful. Beautiful, because you know what? That's what it did for me. And my kids and I have never been closer. I broke habits that I shouldn't be doing for 57 years, whatever it is. And it gave me time to get to know myself again and change direction. And also, I know as a promoter, events and all these things that we do, my musician friends were so busy that they couldn't sometimes write songs because they're, you know, promoting themselves. They're getting to the stage, tearing down, going home, and hopefully somebody pays them, you know, because I've been behind all of that to make sure, you know, someone gets the check at the end of the show or whatever. But there was so much going into being a musician, and this kind of gave everyone some time to rest, you know, because things are going to start speeding up again. I see it.
Oh, it's already happening. Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. It's a completely different mindset from the creative mindset, you know, the self-promotion mindset and everything that goes along with it, the endless busy work, the rat race and everything. It clouds everything. And just having the opportunity to put that aside and turn off that part of the brain and rediscover what actually is going on behind the curtain is actually, I mean, I'm just going to repeat myself, but it was a real gift. It was a real gift. And I think, you know, culturally on the whole, I think we run the risk of failing to learn the lesson that this provided by the rush to go back to how things were. And that might be a controversial statement. People might not agree with me on that because we all have, you know, different things that we miss and that we love doing. But I think there was real value in being able to turn off for a minute and reassess. And I have a little bit of a fear that lesson is being forgotten or simply ignored.
And I love what you're saying too, because you were talking about the Oregon Fair and the song. Mm-hmm. My arm hairs just went up, because you are a storyteller, a songwriter, you know, and in tribal times we would sit around. You didn't have to promote yourself. We just showed up. Right. We were in a tribe. That's what I loved. Wired and Plugged, the coffee shop or Soul Food Coffee House. It's just a group of people that hang out, and then the storytellers and the songwriters are sitting there. And I believe I was like the person you entertained, or you know, I was like reading a book, and you guys were mm-hmm. performing. And so when it gets to the other side of your brain, I know my brain shifting gears like that, it hurts sometimes. Being in that creative space, I feel joyful and playful. Mm-hmm. But I told one of the promoters that does up north, I said, I used to be dancing in the middle. Now I'm making sure everyone has their cords and their sound equipment. <Yep. laughs> And one of the musicians doesn't show up, and I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, so we need to have a little bit more play. I'm praying for play, laughter, smaller groups. You know, I'm making my bubble much smaller than it's ever been. Thank mm-hmm. God. You know, so I hope you all get, how do you say it, the recognition, and you're valued this time around, that people understand that music and art is super essential. And small communities who get together and gather make the world such a lovely, lovely place to be in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, and there's another dynamic at play, which is maybe just stating the obvious. But for me, having said all that, I desperately miss audiences. I desperately miss the ability to connect playing music with people in the same room. I did a number of live streams during the pandemic, and they were great, and it was wonderful to have people in the comments and everything and all that, but they were utterly exhausting playing for a little camera lens on my own in my little bedroom studio. And I would be tired for many days afterwards just because of the energy expenditure to try and connect remotely. And then a couple, gosh, I guess it was last month, I did another live stream, but there were like four people in the room with me, and it was the most energized I'd been in like a year. Just having three humans in the room with me as I played was it just felt like an absolute luxury.
And everyone really said, nice. I should do my classes on Zoom. I tried it. It's not me. Our Energy Matters thing, and this is your real first Zoom. I mean,
yeah, it is.
In person.
We're not supposed to tell people that.
No, I'm proud of you. I tried it. Everyone said you got to do it, and I just wasn't the same. So now I'm doing these little retreats where people come. One, now they're bringing families. I'm, you know, 3-year-olds, 8-year-olds, and the whole family goes to the beach and to the labyrinth, and we do healing work. And that's me. And you get me up on my feet to dance. God bless you all, because I miss that.
Yeah. So I miss that too.
I danced to your song the other day at my place in the woods. It was amazing. And awesome. Just that's the music. And oh, and your CD's on the way. I haven't been home for 3 days, but I'm sure it's there, sitting there. And it's part of my birthday week celebration is to put that CD in my car, take my phone, not look at it, and uh-huh. just drive down to the road to the beach and listen to this amazing song that'll lift my spirits. Not just that song, the whole album. It's so good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's called Eye of the Storm. Eye of the Storm.
I have the storm. Yeah. Came out end of February 2020. So we did a little release show, and then the world fell down around us.
Yeah. My healing practice in Whidbey was March 21st grand opening. Ouch. It does hurt,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. It's like, ooh.
And then think maybe it's held off for 2 months. But this thing taught us to live in the present moment, because that's all we have right now.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That's the truth.
And listening to good music. And nickdrummond.com. The song that we're going to play is Moonrise, and you wrote that.
I wrote that a couple years ago. It was about it's about Oregon Country Fair. And if listeners aren't familiar with it, it's kind of a hippie festival in the woods. But it's very structured. And it was a very formative festival for me in my early 20s. A lot of really beautiful, wonderful experiences connecting with people and connecting with, you know, a kind of dormant part of my own humanity. Everything just felt very familiar and very joyful, and it just felt good to be alive because of that. And so this song is a little bit of an homage, I'm not sure how you say that word, to those experiences in that time. And it's actually kind of funny, we got booked to play there a couple years ago, and so I got to bring this song home in a way, and that was a pretty that was an important moment for me. I don't know how well it connected or anything, if anyone really noticed that I was playing a song about Oregon Country Fair at Oregon Country Fair, but for me, it just felt,
well,
it felt like the circle was completed. It was nice.
It's the first song that I really reconnected after, you know, people are playing music live again. So I thank you for the song Moonrise, and new album is, or it's new. Eye of the Storm. You can get it.
It's still new. Yeah, yes. That's right.
NickDrummond.com. Thank you, Nick, for all that you do, and I look forward to seeing you in person.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Come back next week for more people, places, and activities that will lift your spirits.
When the summer full moon rises and the angels open up their wings, music like an incantation is in the air on shiny silver strings. And so you move your body, ankle bells and blue and golden rings. When the summer full moon rises, I just wanna ride your angel wings. The summer full moon rises, melodies catch us in the spell. Campfire incantations, burning sweet and deep and oh so well. And the rhythm wraps your body, ankle bells and blue and golden rings. When the summer full moon rises, and the angels open up their wings. Tonight, the stars beneath the love song on ancient light.